Welcome to the WDW News Today podcast. My name is Eric Morton, and with me, of course, for the last time in a little while again, Tom Corliss.
I guess so.
You're back to Japan in a couple days.
Yes, later than originally anticipated, but yeah.
I dare say your tiny apartment misses you at this point.
Is it still there? Did I leave the iron on? Who knows? It's a Japanese iron, so of course it shut off on its own. It also cleaned the apartment while I was...
Boy, how much of that upper loft area is full of merchandise?
None. I got everything home.
Oh, really?
One brown box, because Hiroki gave me a bunch of stuff that he had ordered between, like, January and now.
Yeah.
One brown box didn't make it, but I took everything I had purchased plus older stuff home, except for one small box.
We are still in the back alley of our celebration headquarters here. Any minute I expect one of the puppets from Avenue Q to pop up out of this window here and sing a song or say something inappropriate to you, but so far has not happened. We are very excited that you've joined us. Stage 89 has now wrapped up. Of course, we're still kind of in the wind down from that, getting settled in here. It's a little while. We got a lot of work ahead of us.
Yeah, we do.
So what a perfect time to head on back. I think you should.
Yeah, well, I want to clarify again, because I received a lot of emails. People saw, like, TikToks and things, and Adam the Woo and a couple other vloggers showed our museum space.
Yeah.
That is not just open to the public, I want to comment. That will be open at various times starting in August. We will let you know when. Please do not come here, bang on the door, and ask for a tour, because no one is going to give it to you, because if someone's here, they're working on something else. And please don't disturb them.
That even happened before. It's not that uncommon for
someone
gonna to just
be
stop
locked.
By.
This side's going to be locked. We're going to put curtains up. And if you come to visit, you're only going to get to go in the little lobby next door, which has nothing on display. It's an empty room with a bench. So you can sit there, but there's nothing we can do for you. You'll have to come back when we have one of our tours and shows and all those sorts of things when they happen and all.
The set is dark for now.
Yes.
Until you return.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Don't bother her.
I see you're wearing our new shirt again.
I am.
The lovely shirt inspired by Tower of Terror.
Mm-hmm. 30 years of terror.
It's our first collab with our friends at Park Candy. I think I can say that.
I don't know.
But you buy it through us. This is our own model.
Carousel
so look at
products.
This. There you go. Carousel of products. So you can buy that. You go to www.nt.link/tiptop.
What? This thing.
Don't ask me why these links are getting out of control.
Links every day.
What? I know. I think
what
you can also go to shop.wdwnt.com. I don't know what's going on. I'm not in charge of that.
Okay, well, just scan that. That'll work.
Yeah, go there.
I don't know.
Get your shirt. They're $75, but they are... we've done some of these button-ups, button-down, whatever you want to call them in the past, and I think while they were good-looking shirts, I felt like the quality wasn't quite what I would wear regularly, and these are. These are that lightweight, four-way stretch. Yada, like,
they're very,
very, very comfortable.
Yeah, I like
so them. I'm really looking forward to seeing these around the parks. We've already sold quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Also, there's Gertie.
I don't know if there's any Gertie's left. There might be like two or three at this point, but that same shopping website, you'll find Gertie. So
whatever the wild link is, just scan that QR code.
People are also asking about Gertie now because they know some people got them at Stage 89 because if you pre-ordered and with your tickets to Stage 89, you got your Gertie. We do not have the full shipment yet. So if you are waiting for them to arrive or plan on picking it up? Not yet. We'll let you know any day now.
Expecting over 50 cases of them to come in.
God.
That's going to be a lot of fun shipping those out.
I think essentially all the space we made, you guys are going to fill with boxes of Gerties for at least for a moment.
But we talk about Park Candy and how to buy this, but you can also buy the regular Park Candy stuff. You go to parkcandy.com and you put in the code WDWNT at checkout, they'll get you 15% off.
Yeah.
So check them out. They have a lot of amazing designs inspired by the theme parks that we love.
Yeah, and movies and other things.
Yeah, pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Tom, I just want to catch up with you because you came back and we were in full bore go, go, go mode. I didn't really have time to – I haven't hung out with you. I haven't spoken to you except
I locked myself away.
Except what's the status of this? What's the status of that? Can you make
Why
this problem go away?
Why is the lobby on fire?
So I haven't gotten a chance to really catch up with you and talk to you about Japan. Now I know you've been vlogging while you're there.
Yeah.
You've been very successful and popular. But I just want to go back and talk about your trip. You are now a third or a quarter of the way through your Japan adventure, right?
Something like that,
Come back sometime at around D23, I think.
I'd say like a quarter. We're like a quarter.
You're going to come back here for...
Tiana. Yeah.
And I don't know if we're allowed to say when that is, but in about a month.
Early June.
Yeah. I will be on the cruise for the first ever Lighthouse Point. Yeah. At the same time, you will be Fantasy Springs.
Yep.
And then we will be Tiana. Yep. And you'll be back to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Japan, there's a bunch of stuff. Well, there's stuff opening, right? Are you going to do the Donkey Kong coaster in Osaka?
We don't know. They've delayed it. The word on the street is it's July, but we don't know that for sure. We're hoping, because that was one of the reasons why I went, was we were like, well, we have a lot of things to cover in Japan. So we're hopeful that Donkey Kong is going to get somewhat back on track. Just funny because it's a coaster that jumps tracks. Get it? Mm-hmm. But anyway, hopefully Donkey Kong will be included in we're on the media list for USJ, so I hope they will pull that off. So I'll be able to. I've never been to an event there, so I'd love to see a USJ event out in Osaka.
Can we talk about this? You also might be going to China.
Yeah, working on it. We're trying to figure that out a bit. Not doing the 72-hour or whatever thing I did before, but actually, I'm trying to get a visa done. We're working on it because I would like to go to see Zootopia, number one, and number two, Universal in Beijing. So yeah, I have to try to get this visa thing done in short order if I want to go in June. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. I'll just be here.
No, you weren't going on the cruise.
Yeah, there's 3 days.
There's 3 days. Oh, my God. They're expensive.
There's things I do want to do this summer. I don't know how I'm going to pull them off because I feel like this responsibility to host the news.
Yeah.
And I don't like outsourcing that. I don't like having, you know, down the line. They don't like, nobody likes that. Right. So
yeah,
we'll see what we can do. Maybe I'll do the news from like an airport or something. Would that be okay with you?
From an airport?
I don't know. Like if I'm traveling somewhere, hey, it's news today.
Figure it out. I could do one here or there from Japan. The problem is that internet there is just not. I don't understand. They're such a technologically advanced country, and internet continues to be a problem. Like fast Wi-Fi anywhere in that country is a problem. I don't know if it's just because there's so many people. Like it's just not something anyone can handle. I don't know.
Well, let's rewind a little to the beginning of your trip to Japan.
Sure.
Because I think this is a really interesting part of a journey that I've wondered about and I haven't talked to you about.
Yeah.
You get to Japan.
Mm.
I believe it was like a rainy, kind of cruddy day when you arrived.
Yeah.
And then you just go to an apartment you've never set foot in before, and that's your new home.
Yeah.
What was this like?
It's weird because it's furnished, and then also Nana sent them to buy stuff like the bed and toiletries and things. I don't know. It's all... Everything. There was a good day of like...
Wait, it's furnished, but also she had to get a bed?
So the furnishing did not include a bed because...
Isn't that like... It's an apartment that's like 6 feet wide by 11 feet long.
What else? It had the bed that's kind of the floor thing, which is
like
not...
a pallet?
Yeah, that's not... I can't sleep on that. That's not happening. Right. So they bought like a tiny bed, which is fine. Yeah. But most of the first day was translating packaging just to figure out what was in what they had purchased in the apartment. Like translating, like, what's the bleach and what's the detergent and what's this weird packet of sauce that goes on pasta and what is any of this stuff in this apartment? What is this hanger thing? What is this device?
Do the hanger. Hanger thing.
How do I hang this outside? What is it? What is happening? Like, there was a lot of just deciphering what devices and packages were.
But you dry your clothes outside on a weird hanger.
Yeah,
thing. It's
so
not weird. It's just to us.
No, it's not. But there's
hanger.
Yeah. So there's it's also weird because you just have like a weird, you have this tiny patio and there's a bar, which you would think is just a way to hang it, but they also bought me a line. And I'm like, so should I put up the line? Should I just hang it on the bar? I don't know. So I've tried putting up the line for a bit, and eventually I'm just like, I think the hanger thing will hang on there. Like, why am I putting up this line? So eventually I just used the hanger there. I was like, this works fine. Why'd you guys buy me a clothesline? I don't even need it. There's essentially, this hanger device is a clothesline. You just hang it on this bar, which is way sturdier than the line.
So I saw something in the comments that was like, sometimes in the bathroom you hang stuff and it, yeah, somehow there's some air accelerating type apparatus within the shower that blows around and dries your clothes.
That exists, but I don't have it. There's one small window in there.
Your bathroom. I don't know if Billy can pull up footage of this bathroom. And people that watch the vlog have seen it.
If you have any question about things, I highly suggest catching up on the vlogs. I think six of them are out. I'd like to get a couple more out before I head back on Tuesday when you're watching this. Hope to catch up because I think there's still a good six or eight episodes that we're behind on that we need to get out.
It's like an airplane bathroom, right?
I think that's
smaller than a cruise ship bathroom.
I can fit in an airplane bathroom, so that's mean to airplane.
Your knee, like if you sit down in there, your knees are like out in the hallway.
They have to be because I cannot fit the other way. Like my I'm too tall.
You're like a 45 degree angle to like where the toilet is intended to
Correct.
Go.
Yes.
I mean, I don't need to get too deep into the mechanics of how
people I don't get too deep into this bathroom, yeah. So it's fine.
But, I mean, it is frighteningly small. I'm sure the showers,
and there's people,
no great
what
shakes
blows
either.
My mind is there are people my height in this country, and I'm like, there's no way these people have an apartment with this bathroom. They can't. You can't live like this permanently.
How many people are in the building? Like, how big is this building that you're in? You enter directly from outdoors, or is it like there's a lobby and an elevator?
It's from outdoors.
Yeah.
It's a two-story building. I think like 16 apartments in the building. And it's kind of a complex, though. They're up against each other. There's several of the same building in a row, essentially.
So do they all like peek out their curtains when you walk by? Because it's strange to see like this New York Italian guy walking through the...
Facing out, all you have is that tiny bathroom window, which is... frosted anyway.
Yeah.
We could see across to someone else's apartment from the balcony, the big back door. Yeah.
But I got the impression you're certainly in an area where they're not used to seeing.
I'm definitely
tourists.
The only non-Japanese person in that area, in Higashino, which is near. I'm like an 18-minute walk from the park.
But is it? It's completely walkable. You can.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to like walk on a street that doesn't have a sidewalk or something.
Oh no,
like
not at all. No.
And so, do you feel a little out of place? You're walking to the corner market, and they're like, "He's here."
Yeah, but everyone's like, so nice. I don't know. Like at least in the area I'm in, the Family Mart, I had to go pick up. We had to buy faster internet, so we had to buy
at the Family Mart.
It was delivered to the Family Mart. We picked it up at the Family Mart.
Wait, the internet was delivered to the Family Mart?
Yes. And so I signed for it, and there's a nice elderly couple who operates the Family Mart, and they were very sweet, and he tried to explain everything in the store to me, and I didn't have the heart to be like, I've been to this country many times, I know what all the weird food in the store is, but I just went along for the little tour with him. It was very sweet.
Is it a card? Is it, you're saying you like pick up a
it's
router
a
like you would at the cable company?
No, so they just mailed
like
it there. I think because I had to sign for it, we decided to send it to the local Family Mart. So okay. That way I could just go whenever and get it. I didn't have to be home for it, right? But it's any of those like pocket Wi-Fi things. It's
like a MiFi type of thing?
Yeah, just one of those.
Jeez. So does that connect to wiring, or is that using the wireless network there?
It's wireless, so it uses like LTE,
okay.
I guess.
I mean, I know it's wireless in, you know, on your end. I didn't know if it plugs into something on the other end, just power.
No, so there's one in the apartment. It's the same type of thing, but it was slow and it had a really low gigabyte limit. So Nana freaked out. Like I was like, Nana, in 3 days I've used the monthly limit. She's like, oh no. How? She's like, Nana, I'm uploading high def video. What do you think is going to happen? But I don't know how people live like that. I don't know how people use that little internet. like, I don't understand. Like, streaming alone would blow so much of it. I don't get it. They definitely stream stuff. It's not like I haven't gone to an alien planet. It's just a different country. We all do kind of the same thing.
Yeah, because you contacted me at some point, and you're like, my new internet service is not going to be active until, you know, I have like 3 days left, yeah. but I'm out of internet.
Yeah.
Like, it does just not work at all, or it slows you down? Or
it slowed it down to the point where you could almost do nothing.
But then you could walk out in the street and get, like, LTE on your phone, no?
Yeah, LTE on my phone, but I... So with the Verizon plan I'm using, like, you have unlimited text and call, but there's 2 gigabytes of data
yeah.
included in that, like, $10 a day they charge.
Do you have 5G?
Yeah.
Okay.
Until you run out of data.
And it downgrade you to 4G.
Which could be quick, because or... I had to make sure none of my apps are running in the background, and can't really watch a YouTube video or anything, like, because it's going to blow that limit pretty quickly.
Pretty hard to keep up with what we're up to while you're gone, then.
Oh, I managed.
No, so you get accustomed to the tiny apartment, which was it bigger or smaller than you thought it was going to be?
I was bigger. The bathroom was the only thing that was smaller than I thought it was going to be. But otherwise, like, I grew up in the Bronx. Our house wasn't huge. Like, I don't...
So, like, quiet, easy to sleep.
Yeah.
Serene.
Except for Saturday. Because Saturday, there's like a high school. I don't even know it's a high school. Maybe it's a, I don't know what grade it is. But nearby, there's a school right around the corner.
Right.
They have a giant field in the back, right, for baseball yeah. and tennis and all sorts of stuff. On Saturdays, they are very loud about baseball. So, and Saturday would be a day I don't really go to the park, right? The events all kicked off during the week. Weekends at the park are busy. I was like, this is not a day I'm going to go work. This is a day I'm going to sleep in, and then I'll edit stuff, and that'll be my Saturday. But every Saturday, like very early, you start hearing the screaming and chanting from the baseball field. So I don't know if it was a game or practice or what, but just a lot of chanting and yelling and screaming.
I feel very strongly that you need to go attend one of these. Just show up and start chanting.
I think they would just stop. They'd all get like
stop
embarrassed.
Stop the game?
And everyone would just stare until I left. This guy. Kind of
no,
I
but you need
happen.
To go to like a professional baseball game there, like the Giants
yeah.
or the. You need to go to the Tokyo Dome.
We're
or,
doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
Nana's working on that.
I sent you a number of things that I've seen in Japan that you need to do.
I need to go to the ice cream thing. I'm not going to spoil it.
The ice cream thing. I sent you. There's some weird escalator. We keep using the word weird. Some escalator that looks terrifying that goes
yeah.
up.
Oh, I need to go on that, yeah.
Like a mountain or something.
Yeah.
I sent you something else that's a, you can drive like your own Mario, I think it's called Monkey Kart.
Oh, that's always been around, yeah.
I mean, it's very
that
vloggable.
That you gotta do with a group.
It's
though.
Very vloggable.
You really need to do that.
Put
with
a GoPro
group.
On your head. Let's see it. The audience wants to see stuff like you driving
maybe when
a
Eric
Mario
comes
Kart
to
through
visit.
The streets. Of, how am I supposed to come visit you?
You get on an airplane. And the airplane will fly across the ocean.
But I'm not going to stay with you. Then
no.
I got to spend a bunch of
no
money.
No one
to
can
do this
stay
and
with
that.
Me. There's
right.
no room.
And then, like, then who's going to do the news?
Why don't we just do it from there? I don't know.
We can do a podcast episode from there.
Mm.
Konnichiwa.
So.
We can look like the guys from the Most Extreme Elimination Challenge. You know? Is that on TV? I guess you don't get, like, Japanese television then.
I do. I haven't put it on, really.
It's probably wild.
I've watched Japanese television. It's mostly, like, people sitting at a table and then a bunch of graphs and imagery popping up while they discuss something. That's kind of all of their programming. At least everything I've seen is mostly that. Or that I've watched sumo. I've watched sumo on NHK, which is fun.
So you walk over to Disney, you can go shopping and all that stuff without going into the parks.
Yeah.
You did that, and I know I saw that.
That was the first thing, yeah.
And then you've been to the park several times.
Yeah.
And crowded, very crowded.
Depended.
Everything
when
you
I
showed
first,
me.
When I first got there, it was a nightmare because it was spring break for them. And it was, I've never seen, I don't know that I've ever seen it as crowded as it was. It was bad. I showed up more than an hour before Disney Sea opened and did not get into the park until 45 minutes after it opened. It took that long for everyone to get security screened and in. There were that many people out there. It was crazy. You'll see that one of the vlogs. I think I talk about that. And then that's when I had to, I think I got a like 7 p.m. shopping pass for that night because that's all I could get at that point, to just go look at Duffy merchandise.
Did you get long bread?
I had the Mickey long bread. I'll save my thoughts for a future video. I didn't vlog it because it was late. It was dark out. I was like, I can't really show it. I was like, I'll get it again.
So you brought back a couple of things, and a few of them you allowed us to open on Boxed In last night. Yeah. Boxed In, if you don't know, is an unboxing show we do in my kitchen. It's on one of our sister channel, WWNT.TV.
Yeah.
And one of them are these cat clips. So, like, imagine, I guess they're very small, so I don't know that you could really clip bags of chips, except maybe very small bags of chips with these. Mm-hmm. And they each have a Disney cat. And they are sold to you in a log of tins of cat food.
You could buy them individually also.
Right. Then they're mystery.
Yeah.
But because you bought the whole box, there's no mystery to it. We knew we were getting every cat.
Yeah.
Because I know how you roll.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm getting everything.
I in the end, wanted three of them, and I realized it was better to just buy the set instead of sending someone back a few times to keep trying.
Yeah.
It probably was cheaper to just buy the set.
We also opened, I'm going to blow this, some 40th anniversary toys, little trinket things.
There's like no real name for this
thing. I don't know. Just 40th anniversary boxes of things.
This was like a mail order thing you had to do. This was like phase two of the 40th, where it kicked into like memory go round, which was the nostalgic stuff. So it was stuff that emulated things from like the 80s at Tokyo Disneyland.
So there were some cool things in there. We tried to Google Lens to understand what a couple of the items were, and it wasn't helpful. But we had one of them was a ride vehicle that none of us recognized. And I guess it's from Storm Rider.
Oh, the Storm Rider vehicle. Yeah.
I've never been on Storm Rider. I don't know anything about it.
The like plane.
Yeah, it was like a plane. It kind of looked like the Milano.
Yeah,
it
sure.
It looked like a Wish.com version of the Milano.
How dare you?
But Storm Rider, that was pretty, we had a charm bracelet that was like the Skyway buckets. That was really cool. There was a Speedway car. I don't remember precisely the name of Tokyo Disneyland's.
Theirs was the
Autopia.
Ours was Grand Prix Race. What was theirs?
It's something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the name.
Anyway, it was pretty cool. And I've talked to some people that even work in Disney merchandise, and they're like, oh, Tokyo's merchandise, their packaging, their level of detail is on a next level.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to, like, it's just next level. It's part of the experience of having the merchandise is elevating the experience of opening the merchandise. So we're opening cat food, tins of cat food, to get the mystery merchandise out of it. I thought that was really thoughtful. And I just want to be the guy that pitched that, and then they're like, okay, well, call our supplier and see if they can take all of this merchandise, once they make it for us, and put it in tins of cat food and seal them. Right? I mean, that's weird.
Yeah.
We keep using the word weird. I mean,
I assume they called, like, the company that makes cat food, and we're like, could we, like, have you do, like, package a bunch of product for us? And they're like, okay. Can we do a collab?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty
cool. Collabing with the cat food company.
You never know. So, anyway, you start vlogging. We've seen a lot of your vlogs. Yeah. I want to talk about, first of all, I want to talk about things you miss. Because we talked about that before. What are things you're going to miss?
Yeah.
I was on a podcast. And you said,
I don't think I was gone long enough to miss stuff, right? A month? I don't know. I don't think a month's that long. Maybe at the end of the summer I'll feel differently.
I mean, were you lonely?
No.
No?
So, like, obviously I miss my girlfriend and I miss my family, but I wasn't gone. Like, I've been gone alone for long stretches of time. I'm also an only child, so I was used to being alone. I don't know. It's fine.
I just picture you in this little apartment playing with your little trinkets that you bought.
Well,
that
no,
day.
I kept busy. Like, either I went to a park and worked, or I was home editing and eating, or I went to do something fun. I didn't really just kind of sit around. I don't do that at home either. Like, I try to keep busy. When I lived here, like, I've been gone for so long, and like, I don't still kind of live in this country. When I lived here, I don't like sitting home on the weekend. I don't know. It makes me anxious. I don't want to sit home and do nothing. So I usually didn't. So the same thing there. I didn't really sit around.
Was there not a food that you're like, oh, I can't wait to eat X when I get home, when I get back to Florida, when I get back to
But like, it's no different than like usual. It's like, I haven't been to Sanaa in ages. I just really want bread service. Like, that sounds good. I did miss my Pollo Tropical bowl. You know about
the Pollo Tropical. You don't eat that much. You probably only eat it once or twice a day. The Troppy Chop.
So we, there was a joke.
DoorDash went out of business locally. I don't know if you know that.
So someone did a TikTok where the lady does this TikTok where she's looking. She's like, I order Chipotle. I think I order Chipotle like once a week, I think. And she opens her app and it says she's ordered it. In the last year, it says she's ordered it 100 times and she's freaking out about it. People are dying and I'm just sitting there like, I've ordered my Pollo Tropical bowl more than she's ordered this thing and people are laughing at this woman. I'm like, oh no.
I mean, if I were to wager the over under on how many times you ordered DoorDash in the last year, it's over 300 times.
No, because I think when I'm away, I don't order anything, right? Like, that's the thing is the reason my kitchen was never really stocked or I didn't cook a lot at home was I rarely was home, right? Compared to years past, I was eating more at home than before because I think post-COVID, I just ate at Disney all the time because I was streaming every day from the park or, like, I was there. I was like, I'm going to eat here while I'm out. I'm not going to go home and find food and cook. And, like, I've already worked all day today. Like, I just want to go home and eat and go to bed. That's my plan.
But, I mean, when you were here often, you would get it twice a day. So maybe it does make
it was not. Yeah, I wouldn't get the same thing twice a day, though.
Yeah.
No, Pollo, you can't have the same meal twice in a day. No, Pollo would be once a day. According to my app, I have ordered that bowl 153 times, which is less than I thought.
That's way less than
that's not in a year. That's ever.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
153 is a lot, though.
But there's other places I order from. I'd order from the Greek restaurant. I like yeah,
the Little Greek.
Little Greek,
give them a plug.
Them, the chicken salad chick occasionally. I like that. Yeah, you don't know about the chicken salad chick? They make really good chicken salad sandwiches. Yeah, it's a chain.
We have a new chicken place in Celebration called Slim Chicken.
I hate it.
Really?
I thought it was gross. I thought it was like poor man's Raising Cane's or Zaxby's.
I think, like, in our culture, the way that we are these days in 2024, I'm supposed to have a really strong opinion on something like Raising Cane's versus Zaxby's, which they're pretty indistinguishable.
No, those, I think, are both great. Yeah.
But now this outsider comes. I mean, somebody's probably from wherever Slim, maybe Slim Chickens has been around longer than the other two. I think Zaxby's was first on the scene back, I mean, in the 90s. I've seen them.
I didn't know them until I moved.
And then Raising Cane's. So I'm pretty sure Zaxby's is from somewhere in Georgia.
They're not from Louisiana?
No, Raising Cane's, I think, is from Louisiana. I think Raising Cane's is from...
I thought they were both Louisiana.
No, but I think whoever...
You know, we can look this up.
Whoever started Zaxby's worked at some chicken finger place in maybe Athens, Georgia, like where the University of Georgia is or something. And I think the people who started Raising Cane's also worked for that same chicken finger place.
Maybe.
And they both started their own take on it. And I think Zaxby's has probably a bigger menu, but... I don't know. I don't have a strong preference between the two.
I love Zaxby's.
It's kind of like, it probably just depends on where you're from, whichever one you had first. I mean, that's why if somebody loves Whataburger, gets into an argument with someone that loves In-N-Out, they're going to prefer whichever one they had where they grew up, right?
Zaxby's was founded in 1990. Their headquarters is in Athens, Georgia.
Okay.
Zaxby's Chicken and Zax Sauce is based on another smaller chicken finger chain called Guthrie's.
Yeah, Guthrie's.
In Athens, Georgia, while Zach McLeroy attended the University of Georgia. The first Zaxby's was established in Statesboro, Georgia in March 1990. The company's first restaurant outside of Georgia was September of 94 at Bowling Green, Kentucky.
All right.
I love Zaxby's. Look, those are both good. I wouldn't pick one. Those are both good. I just think Slim Chickens isn't good. I think the chicken is lower quality. I did not think the sides were as good.
I don't have a strong opinion.
I don't like Slim Chickens.
But we got one in Celebration, so.
But why are we talking about? I don't remember what we were talking about.
I don't know.
Was it food?
I don't know if you know this, but we have a tendency to get off topic on this show. Some people get mad. Some people are here for it.
Yeah.
I don't really You know, I don't begrudge people to get mad, but also, like, I think some people are here for it, and they're louder.
Well, I think the podcast is an opportunity to know us more as people, right? And we talked about last week how at Stage 89 we got to know Imagineers as people we've only heard their name or saw them connected to a project. We get to know them as people, and I feel like knowing them as people makes me enjoy their work more. And so I hope that is the same for people watching.
Okay, so yeah, Raising Cane's was started in Baton Rouge, Louisiana in 1996. Mm. So they came a little bit later. Maybe they had some, I don't know, maybe they had better stuff. And then the guy who founded it, Todd Graves, two guys, but one of them named Todd Graves, had worked for Guthrie's Chicken Fingers.
Oh, they both
did. So they both have the similar origin story.
I will tell you, I don't know that their chicken is distinguishable. I think they both taste eerily similar. I think the difference is the sides and some of the other stuff. And obviously, we have more Zaxby's than we do Raising Cane's here.
Right. Zaxby's also has things like salads and desserts. I think Cane's is mostly like,
it's just chicken fingers. The chicken fingers, yeah. Zaxby's kind of spread their wings.
Oh, God. Maybe the worst pun in the history of this podcast.
Birthday cake shake at Zaxby's.
Oh, yeah?
I haven't eaten at a Zaxby's in a couple of years. When I worked at Theme Park Connection, I used to drive home. I used to live by the Holy Land Experience past Millennia. Mm-hmm. I used to stop at the drive-thru at the Millennia one, not the healthiest option. I really tried to stop eating stuff like that. But I used to, twice a week probably, I'd stop at that Zaxby's drive-thru and get, God, it's so unhealthy. Five big chicken tenders and toast and fries. And then I would order not the regular sauce. I would add on one of the sauces for the wings, the hottest one, the insane sauce.
Yeah.
And I would just blow out my sinuses for the evening. I was like, I'm going to make sure I don't have a sinus headache this week by having this insane sauce.
So for people that maybe aren't here all the time in Orlando, there's an area of town that now has become sort of a center of gravity for all these regional places that people can't...
Portillo's.
So there's, like, for the people from Chicago, there's Portillo's, right? There's actually a couple Portillo's. There's also one in Tampa, at least. And there's a White Castle, the only White Castle in Florida. There's a Shake Shack. I think that's where Raising Cane's is. I'm not sure.
I think so.
There's all this stuff is, like, compressed into one little area
there. I will tell you, as a New Yorker, that White Castle is sacrilege.
It's too nice.
Nothing tastes right. No, but not, also, yeah, no one's shooting up or anything at this White Castle, so I don't like it. But it shows in the food quality, too.
Damn, I need that junkie burger.
The dirtier the fast food restaurant, the better the food. Same with, like, Chinese restaurants, the more beat up and hard to look at the menu board is, the better the food is. Like, if the imagery is washed out, the backlit imagery is washed out, you know that General Tso's chicken is going to be on fire, man.
Yeah, I used to say that about barbecue, too, right? If you go into a barbecue place with with tablecloths, just leave.
You want the menu board to be those letters that clip into the frame, right?
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah. And you want to see just like a pile of sliced white bread, like behind the counter somewhere where they're, I know.
But that White Castle, that even the chicken rings didn't taste right.
I don't like chicken rings. I've had them in, I don't know White Castle very well, but in Vegas they have a White Castle.
Yeah.
Lee is from Indiana where they have White Castle.
Yeah.
I'm from Kansas where White Castle was founded, but they don't actually have White Castle there anymore.
It died out there.
Yeah, maybe. Like Pizza Hut was founded there too. Who knew?
Yeah.
So, but I saw chicken rings. I was like, it sounds a little unnatural, but I'm here for it. And they weren't that good. Every time I get them, I'm like, oh, why'd I get those? And I got them here, and they tasted just the same as they did in Vegas. So maybe either the Bronx White Castle you're used to going to had a certain seasoning in the grease that had been floating there for generations.
Something's in that vat that's not supposed to be there. That's what's happening. We don't want to know what I've ingested at this point. But the burgers, too. I had you guys get, like, one burger because I just wanted to see if it tasted different. And I was like, this is not it.
I like the cheddar jalapeno burger. I'm never hungry for White Castle. I think it's a thing that triggers a spot in the mind of people who remember being drunken in college and it's 2 a.m. and you go to White Castle, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, and every now and then they'll get a little, like, hunger pang for White Castle in there to remind them of, you know, the autobiographical taste of.
There's a whole movie about this. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Don't let your kids watch it.
No.
White Castle for me in the last 10 or so years has been, my parents have picked me up at the airport. It's 11 at night. I'm hungry. Let's stop at White Castle on the way home.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I don't know. Those things, they're hard to shake out of your psyche, right? These things that remind you of home.
I hate that Shake Shack is associated with New York because I feel like it's the least New York thing. I hate that. They're so, like, Shake Shack's good.
It's fine.
But it just doesn't feel like a New York thing. It's been a chain since the moment it was.
It's a little too clean, a little too high concept.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not a real New York thing. I don't like it.
It doesn't feel like it was born out of a shack at all.
No.
It seems like it was dreamed up by a corporate-minded person.
Yeah.
Like a venture capitalist.
It's like Roosevelt. It's like, I know people with money started this. I don't like this. I don't know. This is you had the road paved for you. This wasn't a hard business venture for you to succeed in.
I mean, the restaurant business is hard enough as it is. Most restaurants go out of business, right? But there was been this trend of taking normal products and the younger generation basically turning them into a subscription service, right? So you used to be able to just buy soap. Now you like order soap online, it's cheaper, but you have to subscribe. Or razor blades, you know, you can get your razor blades cheaper, but you have to subscribe. Like, they just turn every product into a subscription, and then they think that they've like invented something.
What are you subscribed to?
Nothing.
I have Manscaped.
Oh boy.
I have that stuff.
Manscaped.
We got to get them as a sponsor. Who's handling our sponsorships? I want to talk about Manscaped.
You give it your best shot right now. Here's your sizzle reel for Manscaped.
No, not until we get a check. I'm not going to talk about deodorant.
I'm kind of horrified to think of like all the different product lines and how you might endorse them. So I'm more than happy to move on.
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay, so then you start vlogging. You're going to the parks, and what are you noticing about the parks? Is there anything that you've noticed that's different from your previous visits? Is there a better vibe? Like, everyone's excited about Fantasy Springs. Is it dying? Is the heat up for all this? Are they pushing it hard?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know if anything was different. I mean, the spring break crowd, what I noticed is same as here. You can spend a couple minutes in the park and immediately you know who's there, right? This week has been weird here because the Irish accent is everywhere. And I feel like I have never noticed that in my life. I don't know if it is specifically an Irish holiday right now, but it's not even British accents. It's all Irish. And I'm like, this is so weird. It's like, are there enough people in this country to fill Typhoon Lagoon? This doesn't... Everyone had an Irish accent.
Yeah.
And it's not an accent I've noticed maybe at all, if certainly not in mass at our parks ever. I just thought it was so weird and wacky.
Yeah.
But there you notice it more in the clothing than you do in the dialect, because I don't speak Japanese.
You wore jeans the whole time you were there, right?
Yeah, until the end. Then it finally warmed up at the end. Started with a lot of jeans that then I brought home this time. And you notice in the if people are from Tokyo, specifically Tokyo, there is a much more reserved, mild manner of dress code.
Okay.
Long skirts, beige or black, frilly clothes. I'm talking specifically about the women because, I don't know if people know this, the primary guest at Tokyo Disney Resort are single women. I think it's 18 to 30-something.
Yeah.
That's a majority of the guests you see. And otherwise, there are men that have been dragged along by their girlfriends to go to Disney. But a majority is female. Majority of the guests are female. And so that's the dress code. And if you see clothing that's different from that, then Tokyo people are not there. And by the time I was leaving, the last week I was there, the dress code had drastically changed. I'm like, these are not the locals. The locals are gone. This is way more outrageous clothing. You're seeing more colorful hair. Things like that become noticeable when the crowd shifts and you're like, these are not people from Tokyo.
Really? I just, 37 million people live in Tokyo. Aren't they different styles of dress there?
I'm not saying everyone ever in Tokyo dresses the same, but I think widespread you can see the regions people are from based on the clothing, right? So you see some of that in the U.S. There's definitely some like regional differences in dress, but not drastically. In Japan, like when you take the Shinkansen from Tokyo to Osaka, you notice when you get out in Osaka, you're like, oh, people are dressed differently here, right? Especially in the summer, you'll see a lot more, I would say more American style dress, right? What people in America would wear in the summer is more of what people are wearing in Osaka. But in Tokyo, you may not see a drastic shift. Like you'll see less winter clothing for sure, but still like the same color palette and the same style will permeate. But then you'll see that shift when you go south to Osaka for sure.
Can we talk about the Shinkansen experience real quick? Because sure. I feel like every time I've talked to you or Jason about it, it's like, yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, this is a famous train that goes 200 plus miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like, I think that experience is really interesting.
Oh, it's a must-do. Yeah.
And so you take that from Tokyo to Osaka, and that
or
takes
Kyoto
how long?
Or wherever. From, yeah.
How long? This is.
It depends. I think I had
500 miles, and you're going 200 miles an hour.
I think it was the express one, so it took 2 hours. Usually, you tack on another half hour ish. I think if it's the non-express. What's wild about that, though, is obviously that did a number on, it. Like, they're major air routes in Japan. Tokyo to Osaka used to be a major air route.
Yeah.
And you would think like, oh, you've added this train that makes this so easy. This must have killed all the air transportation. It did not. There are still a ton of Tokyo to Osaka air routes, which is crazy because so many people take the Shinkansen.
I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing just from looking at maps, it's similar distance to like Orlando to Atlanta or something like that from Tokyo to Osaka. Is that?
I don't know. No. I don't know that it is. I mean, I can definitely pull up Google Maps and give you a mileage.
The title of this podcast this week might be Tom and Eric Google Things. 310.686 miles. So it's a little shorter than the trip from here to Atlanta.
Oh, it is. Okay.
No, that's interesting just to know. I think the idea of going on a bullet train is
it's cool.
Very exotic to most Americans.
Yeah.
Most of us have never traveled on a train for actual transportation reasons, right? We've done it like we've ridden a train at the zoo or at Disney World or a sort of nostalgia trip maybe to get from, we take a monorail to get from the parking lot to the park, but not actually.
But unless you've lived in a major U.S. metropolis that has public transportation, right? Chicago, New York.
D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even San Francisco, I've been on subways and stuff like that, but in terms of like a train to go on a long distance trip.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Well, I think of the Old West when I think of that. Now, trust me, I have thought an awful lot about doing some long-haul train routes through the western United States at some point.
Yeah.
And I may want to do that and vlog it. I've talked about wanting to retrace Walt's trip from KC to Los Angeles or something like that. But I think to most people that's a foreign thought. Yeah. Most Americans, I think that's a foreign thought. And doing it at 200-plus miles an hour is even more foreign. I imagine there's a speed at which you can't tell the difference between 120 miles an hour and 200 miles an hour.
No, because it's pressurized, right? It's like an airplane. But you definitely, there's a slide. You just feel yourself kind of sliding. The chairs don't move, but you feel your body slide.
Is it maglev?
In the seat.
Is it like a levitating train? No.
I assume so. Maybe
it's
not.
Magnetically.
No, I don't think it is.
No.
I think they're building new routes that are, I think. Okay. I'm not an expert on this at all. I'm not the right person to talk to.
You've been on it several times, though.
Yeah, I can tell you about the experience. I'm not the one to tell you about, the specs of the train, probably. Yeah. But I will tell you, I think it's it's literally the first thing I did with my parents in Japan when they came.
Yeah.
Was we got off the airplane and then got on the train. They thought it was cool.
A couple $100?
I forget what I paid for I think I say it in the video. Maybe I don't, because there's the first vlog of that trip to, that trip south is out. But I did the green car, which is the more expensive. And I don't know that I'd necessarily recommend
the green car.
But I wanted to try it. It wasn't that much. Also, the yen is the weakest it's ever going to be. Yeah. So it was now or never, right? I don't think you need to upgrade. I think they're comfortable enough in the quote-unquote coach.
Like, but do you have like a server come and take drink orders and stuff?
Not anymore. So they used to roll through with a cart. Now it's in the app. You order in the app. You'll see this in one of the vlogs coming up. I just ordered some snacks in the app. It's a very limited selection. It's not... What you think like a first class experience would be on a train is not what you're getting here.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a bar car. No. You know, you go up and sit at a bar or something like that.
Not that.
I saw that in a movie.
No.
I
think the movie was called Bullet Train. You can order alcohol at the seat.
But yeah.
I bet there is a Shinkansen that does have the bar car. Not this one.
Is Shinkansen the name of a specific route or is it the specific type of train?
I believe it's the whole thing.
Nike has a shoe called the Shinkansen. Didn't you used to wear those
around? I wore those. Yeah, I like those. I need to find those
again. I need them just to feel like I'm fast.
I'm just going to pull up the Wikipedia article on Shinkansen now.
Mm-hmm.
Colloquially known in English as the Bullet Train is a network. It's the whole network of high-speed railway lines in Japan. Yeah.
Okay. We do have the Wigs watching. They are commenting in the chat. The Wigs watch us record this live. If you want to learn how you can do that, like watch us. We're a couple days ahead of time filming this. You can go to www.nt.com/Patreon or patreon.com/WWNT. And for as little as $2 a month, you'd be a Wigs member. In this case, the Wigs at $7 and up get to join us live, and they talk about it in Discord. Sometimes they'll toss us questions or maybe offer opinions.
Grace said chicken salad chick is amazing.
Yeah, so. And Jay Ware said Zaxby's is better than Slim Chickens. David Long gave a Kansas shout out that said Kansas used to have Taco Tico. I remember that. There used to be at least one Taco Tico in Lawrence growing up.
And Jay Ware also brought up the Brightline, which I was going to bring up and say, like, that's the closest thing we've got.
Yeah.
In America, we keep trying to make high speed, you know, long distance rail happen, but very rarely. But it has happened here. And Jake and I took that when we went to the Miami trading card convention thing. We took that. And I thought it was great.
I'm thinking about taking it to go on that cruise because the cruise leaves out of Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, I told you should. When I was going on that originally, I was like, that's how we're doing it. I'm not driving that.
I think if you factor in parking and transportation and ground, it probably washes out and I get to relax on a train.
And not sit in traffic.
Lee did take that Brightline to a Virgin cruise down in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Imagineers that I dropped off was at the Brightline station. So I am interested in doing that one of these days. Yeah. I will give you a brief history that may or may not be a fantastical version of high-speed rail in Florida, which was, I remember in 2000, which is that's the Hanging Chad election, the Bush and Gore and all that. One of the measures on the ballot was for a high-speed train in Florida. And at the time, it was going to go from like St. Petersburg, stop in Tampa, then go to Orlando, high-speed, and then down to Miami. And they did not... in detail define what a high-speed train was. The way it was presented to a lot of people was they're going to have a maglev train that can go like a bullet train, like in Japan. So it passed, and then the reality of actually creating the train route became a problem.
Yeah.
And so that was in 2000. And the way that it was told to me was every community between like Tampa and Orlando is like, yeah, we'll grant you a right-of-way to put a train track. All we ask is that you put a train station in our town.
Yeah.
So we're going to give you land to go through here. The least you could do is let our citizens use the train. So now instead of by the time we get done with it, instead of a 200-mile-an-hour trip from St. Pete that stops in Tampa and goes to Orlando all in like a half hour.
Yeah.
It was like, it had 14 stops and a train went a max of 60 miles an hour and it was going to cost $50 or $100. Yeah. And then you get to Orlando where there's no other transportation. This is before Uber.
Yeah.
Right. You'd have to hope there were taxis there. So I think like that took a long time to get going. I don't know if that's the truest representation of what happened, but that's the way it's been told to me. But now we at least have the Miami to Orlando leg of the Brightline, and people seem to have good things to say about it.
Yeah.
People enjoy it. They got a nice station there at MCO.
Stations are beautiful.
And so you can pull right into the Miami International Airport. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about Fort Lauderdale. I guess I'll find out.
Jay Ware said, I want the Brightline to put a Vero station in. That's the only way I'm visiting Vero Beach. That's not a bad drive. Yeah. I've been to Vero. It's not a bad drive at all. And I love Vero Beach. It was great.
I've never been to the beach there. I went to a concert at a winery there. Yes, there's wineries. It's like a vineyard and winery in Florida that there was some kind. This is with like Axel and Pete back in the day.
It sounds about right. It sounds like that group.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, they had. That's there. That's a thing that exists. Mm. So anyway, you saw Spencer. Am I right?
I did. Yeah.
How is Spencer doing?
He seems to be okay.
Can we do an update on Spencer? Spencer, I don't know what many of you may say, maybe remember he used to work here.
Yeah.
He was our Tokyo reporter. He's going to college in Japan now. He's graduated college, and he has a full-time job in Japan down in Osaka. Yeah. Right? Baby Tokyo is now baby Osaka.
Yeah. But I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
No, but you could say he's doing well. He's happy.
He seems all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how long he's going to be there, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you'll see him again.
Maybe.
When you go back.
Perhaps.
So I want to know, how many things do you actually plan on doing that are like not Disney things, but are these bizarre Tokyo experiences I've sent you that are TikTok videos?
I have a list. You want me to go over the list?
Oh, you went to the restaurant where you catch your own fish.
I did.
Did you already vlog that?
It's out, yeah.
I didn't see it.
It was fun and delicious.
Yeah.
Although I did feel bad about doing that to the fish, I will say. So I didn't end up hooking the fish in the end because we tried the bait.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. And then they're like, just use this thing with three sharp prongs and just pull it up into the fish. And I was like, I don't really want to stab a fish.
I don't think, like, the pain to a fish is as culturally taboo in Japan as it probably is.
I don't know if it's culturally taboo anywhere, but I felt bad about stabbing a creature. So I decided, like, I didn't want to.
Right, so they stabbed it for you.
They stabbed it for me, and then I held it, which is totally different.
I'm sure the fish felt a lot better about that. How did it taste?
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget which ways they prepared it. A couple different ways. And then they gave you a soup with it at the end. And the soup was delicious. Oh, my God. I can't recommend it enough, just food quality-wise. Maybe not the catching of the fish.
The brutality.
But at least the quality of the dining experience was very, very good. I really enjoyed it.
I've seen that before where people go into a restaurant and they can pick their lobster, right? They have like a lobster
tank.
And they go, give me that. Oh, yeah, Red Lobster did it. You could pick your Cheddar Bay biscuits, too, in the window of the bakery, maybe.
I got to find these. I have like an image list of places I want to go. And I knocked off some. I won't spoil some because there is, later in the vlogs from the first leg of the trip, there is a day or two where I went and saw some Tokyo area fun stuff. And I went to an Azalea Festival and all sorts of stuff.
Has your Japanese gotten any better?
No.
No?
I know a couple more words, but I wouldn't say it got better.
Give me your top 10 Japanese words.
I don't know if I know that many.
You don't know 10 words?
Maybe not. I don't know.
You've been to Japan 10 times.
What did I learn this time? I don't even
arigato.
Know. Arigato.
Arigato.
Konbanwa, which is good evening.
Okay.
So, which is yes, yes, yes.
So, that's a tough one.
The two that are like, I agree with you are so and so does nay. Mm-hmm. Those two. So although I always think it sounds like so Disney, and I always want to make a shirt that says that. I think they would like it.
No, you sell it in France. So that is so Disney. No. Nana means seven. I know that one.
Nana does mean seven. That's correct. I'm going to find these.
I feel like you should make a little bit of an effort.
Here's stuff that I want to go to that I have not yet. In Shibuya, there is a Japan Prefecture Museum. So essentially, like we have states, Japan has prefectures. The D-47 Museum in Shibuya is dedicated to Japan's 47 prefectures. Each exhibition showcases either the culture, food, design, or history of a particular prefecture or is curated to a theme.
They have 47 states?
Essentially, yeah. They're areas.
I mean, isn't Japan like maybe the size of California-ish? I don't know.
Yeah, it's very segmented, apparently.
Do they have like beef with the other prefectures? Do they?
No, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think it works that way. There's no like Florida of prefectures.
No.
Yeah. There's no,
they're
like,
not like, oh, those Okinawa people down there.
Maybe they are. Yeah. I mean, they people there could be like that, I suppose. I've been to Harajuku before, but I want to go do like they have the crazy like cotton candy and stuff. I want to go do that.
Crazy cotton candy?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like this.
Oh, it's just like big.
Like the things you've seen done
like
in
Lady's
theme parks.
Like
a
lady's hair in the 80s type of
crazy. There's the Dawn Avatar Robot Cafe.
What?
The Dawn Avatar Robot Cafe is reinventing Tokyo's restaurant scene with robot waiters controlled remotely by people who are unable to leave their homes due to medical or social reasons. It's a revolutionary model that seeks to reintegrate people with disabilities, childcare obligations, or other constraints into society.
Why don't we have that everywhere?
Isn't this a cool idea? I got to make a reservation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I want to go to the original Mitsukoshi. So the department store that we have.
It's in Tokyo, I
see. Yeah, yeah. Hang out at K5 in one of Tokyo's coolest neighborhoods. A renovated 1920s bank turned trendy hangout. K5 now houses a boutique hotel, a cafe, a restaurant, and two bars. Looks fun. I have never seen the exterior of Tokyo Station, which is more than 100 years old. It has this beautiful brick facade. I need to go out there and look at it. But I'm always, like, going somewhere else. I'm not getting out of that station. It's a giant station.
I'm not laughing at you.
It is a giant station. Akihabara is a town famous for its many electronic shops. Tokyo Leisure Land offers 5 floors of gaming, lineup of over 100 different video, crane, and arcade games, guaranteeing entertainment for hours on end.
I sent you that one, right?
I think so, too. But I've been there, too. I've just never... Yeah, I just think it'd be fun to go back and kind of vlog it.
If those of our viewers from England, I went to Sega World back in the day, which was like 8 floors of video games in some mall in
similar concept.
London.
Yeah. Zoetrope. Make a beeline for Zoetrope, an intimate bar hidden in the back alley of Nishi Shinjuku, offering 300 labels of local malts, many of which are no longer on the market. Seems like an Eric thing.
Sounds like something I would enjoy.
Bite into fluffy Japanese pancakes at Flippers.
Flippers pancakes?
Sample the Instagram famous souffle pancakes at one of Flippers' many local many locations throughout the city. They're the fluffy, they're the thick pancakes.
Oh, wow.
That's what they're known for there.
I think it's huge.
Yeah. The thick boy. That's for Adam. The thick boy.
The thick boy.
The thick boy pancakes. There is a expansive Starbucks Reserve Roastery in Tokyo along the Meguro River. One of the largest Starbucks locations in the world.
Starbucks.
It houses the roasting factory on the 4th floor, with each floor below devoted to a different type of Starbucks hangout. The first floor is a bakery and cafe. The second floor is a Tivana room. The third floor is an Arriviamo cocktail bar. And be sure to admire the exquisite architecture by the famed architect Kengo Kuma.
They spell your name wrong on the third floor, I've heard.
There is a high. You can chill out on top of a highway at Meguro Sky Garden. The most unusual of Tokyo's urban oases, the Meguro Sky Garden is built on the roof of a circular loop junction on the Metropolitan Expressway.
Oh.
Isn't that neat? That's cool.
Have you ever done like the, what's it called in New York, the High Line?
I was after I left.
I walked along there like around Hudson Yards and all that area. It's pretty cool.
I still need to go. Tokyo Tower, I've still never done. That's very famous.
Landmark. Tokyo Tower? Shiriki Otundu?
No, not. People know Tokyo Tower, though. There's this place called Bricolage Bread and Company. Is a case in point of why artisanal bread should be on your Tokyo list. Ingredients are sourced from organic farmers across Japan and are used in creative bread and pastries ranging from traditional French boulangerie style to those with more of a Japanese spin. Our favorites include the flaky yomogi, Danish, and the signature bricolage bread, which is a medley of ancient grains.
Okay.
The best pizza in Tokyo at Savoy. Run by affable Bungo Kaneko, Savoy is a local pizza institution that arguably rivals many a pizza place in Italy.
Wow.
Sip coffee in an old school, I'm going to butcher this, Kisaten at Gallant. How about some coffee, cake, and a ticket back to the Tokyo of 1977? Gallant, a Kisaten or traditional coffee shop in Ueno, hasn't changed a bit during its 42 years of business, so it's still as it was 42 years ago.
Wow.
That's pretty neat. Then I want to go to, this is a weird one. I'm going to tell you now, this is a weird one, folks. Kapabashi. Spot the enormous, jolly-looking chef's head atop the Nimi building in Kapabashi, and you know you've hit the pearly gates to kitchenware heaven. The town is made up of over 170 wholesale stores selling crockery, pots and pans, knives, chopsticks, plastic food models, and grills. Everything you need to step up your cooking game at home or even open a restaurant.
We often refer to this workplace as a crockery.
I want to buy fake food. I want to own like a plate of fake Japanese food, like sushi or something. I think it'd be fun.
They not sell that at like Epcot or something?
No. No, this is like where they buy the display. So a big thing in Japan, if you go to a restaurant outside, there is a display window of what the food looks like, but it's not real. It's made of plastic or something of the like. And so this is where they get it. This is where you buy the fake food to put in the window.
Okay.
Yeah. Test your bravery at the world's most poisonous fish at Makino, a family-style fugu or blowfish specialist restaurant located between Asakusa and Ueno. I need to try the
blowfish restaurant.
My father has had this when he was in the Navy. Apparently did this. He had the poisonous blowfish that they make.
Is a blowfish and pufferfish is poisonous. Is that also a blowfish? I don't know my marine biology. Maybe they're both poisonous, or maybe I'm wrong. It was always just a blowfish. Anyway, it's like a very skilled chef has to prepare it or you die.
It's lethal if not prepared properly. Yeah.
Wow. You definitely need to vlog that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also, like, tell us where you are before you do it so that we can get the footage if something bad happens.
There's Team Labs Planets Tokyo. One of the people at one of the Imagineers at our event recommended this, actually. Okay. One of Tokyo's hottest museums, Team Lab Planets, is a peerless digital art museum in Toyosu, created by self-styled ultra technologists, Team Lab.
Hmm.
Just looks interesting. This I went to. I'm not going to spoil it. Catch the summer fireworks. Instead of New Year's fireworks, Japan lets all rip in summer with its many Hanabi or fireworks festivals. Held in Tokyo over several weekends in July and August, these events are spectacular, elaborate affairs where the fireworks not only feature physics-defying patterns and shapes like smileys and Pikachu, but are also synchronized to music.
Pikachu?
Yeah.
The one Pokemon I know.
That is the one most...
He's the most famous Pikachu, right?
He's the most famous Pokemon,
yeah. Or they? I don't know... A Pikachu, a girl? I don't know.
They could be either. It's a Pokemon. It's an animal.
Okay.
No.
I thought Pikachu was the character's name.
No, it's actually there is one famous Pikachu that is Ash Ketchum's Pikachu.
Okay.
But no, I mean, any Pokemon, I think all of them can be either sex, but maybe some of them are just neither. I don't know.
Okay.
Ball game. Yeah, I'm gonna go to a baseball game. There's a place you can hang out with rescue cats. There's an island paradise of Ogasawara, known as the Galapagos of the Orient, the Ogasawara Archipelago is a stunning subtropical paradise comprising of 30 islands with only 2,400 residents.
I mean, not to put pressure on you, but you're going to really have to get busy if you're going to do all
no,
of
I'm
this.
No, I'm just, but I've already, there's five or six things on this list I already knocked out. Visit the award-winning sake brewery Sawanoi. With over 300 years of history, Sawanoi is a sake brewery where you can discover the culture and production process of Japan's national drink while sampling some top tipples? What's a tipple?
You could drink. A little tipple.
I've never heard that term before. It's weird. This is a place I've been before, but I need to show people. Nakano Broadway. Built as a high-end shopping center and residence back in the 1960s, Nakano Broadway, or Nakano, people pronounce it differently, has transformed over the years into a subcultural paradise packed with tiny shops hawking rare comics, figurines, video games, and just about anything
else. Oh, God, that's right up your
geeky heart desires. This is where we've gone to find old Tokyo Disney stuff, and so I need to take people along as I hunt for old Tokyo Disney memorabilia. We're going to do this.
That is going to be a full suitcase. You're coming home with a full suitcase.
It's a big bag that day usually, yeah. That's my list. That's the stuff that's on the list.
It sounds, I mean, I wish I could go, but it also makes me think there's probably a million places that I could look up around here that I haven't gone to experience yet, right? There's all kinds
of stuff. It's fair, right? How much have you not done?
How much of Florida have you not done, right? Yeah. Jenny Springs and some of these like beautiful, yeah, all these natural places.
Yeah.
And some pretty cool, like where Nick lives, what's the town where Nick lives? People go up there all the time.
Apopka?
Quirky. No, it's
Oh my God.
I don't know. You know, up there.
Yeah, I know where you're talking about.
They have these you know, cool. It's always listed on these cool, like, hip places to go.
Yeah, for his birthday, we went to some bars up there. There was a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea themed bar went to. Yeah. There's some cool stuff out that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So Grace Upon Grace Upon asked, would you be willing to discuss Donald's Quacky Duck City? Because this is so bizarre that I know you had some footage of it, but I'm not sure I fully understand.
I mean, there's like an hour and a half long vlog. I don't know how much more there is to say if beyond you should go watch
the that. The premise of the event is just they're celebrating
Donald Duck. It's Donald's dream. Like, Donald has this dream, a world where he is the most famous and most admired duck. And he lives in Duck City, and everyone just admires him, and he is the king of Duck City. And that's the premise of the event, is what if Donald got his way? And I love it.
I feel like if Donald got his way, it would be somewhat self-centered and narcissistic.
Oh, it definitely is.
That's kind of Donald's.
But I like that it's like it's been Japanified. It's cutesy, right? It's not like, right. No one is lesser, just all his friends just admire him. They just love him, you know?
Quirt says, what has been your favorite part of the trip so far?
I mean, there's a lot of highlights.
We stumped you.
I mean, I've seen a lot of cool stuff, but
with editing, we can speed this moment up a little bit.
I enjoyed five or six years ago, my first trips, I was not good at the train. I got lost. My highlight, I think, has been like getting all the way to faraway places on my own.
Like, it's being like able old to an navigate, episode of Old Enough.
Like actually navigating the train system and going to these places on my own. I thought that was fun. It was fun to get you're going to see this later one. The Sunshine City vlog is, I think, really cool because I didn't go with a lot planned. I think there was I went to the Azalea Festival, and then I'm like, I'm going to go to this giant Gashapon department store. And that's all I knew was where the Gashapon department store was. The article I read didn't say anything else. And so I go in there, and it turns out this is like this super nerd mall that has a whole floor that's Pokemon, and there's a Disney store, and I discovered a Toys R Us still in operation that feels like every Toys R Us, including the one I worked in.
Really?
There's some really cool moments in that. I end up I had other stuff on my agenda that day, but I just kept finding stuff in that mall that was really cool.
All right.
So that might have been the highlight. That was just a weird day where I had like three things on the agenda. Two of them happened, and at the second one, I then encountered 40 things that were really fun to do.
We could do another episode of Old Enough with you just navigating your way through Japan.
Nana was very nervous. Nana's like, are you lost? Do you need help? I was like, Nana, I got it.
That's great. I think it's fun. I mean, I don't know if I could understand what the hell
I think
is going
you can
on.
Now because Google Maps has come a long way. Originally, like, I tried using Google Maps like the first couple trips, and I just always ended up going the wrong direction or something like that. It's gotten a lot more accurate now, so it's a lot easier to get where you're going.
Yeah, Google Maps, whenever anybody comes to my house, I have to tell them ignore Google Maps.
Yeah.
Because it's going to send them like a mile and a half past my house.
But deciphering, like if you've ever looked up, and if you've been in Tokyo and you've looked up at that train map, it's the scare. I don't know if Billy can find it.
Looks like someone threw spaghetti against
the
wall.
It's insane. I'm like, what? How am I supposed to? How does a human use this? It's the whole size of this building. And I'm just trying to figure out how to get one place to the other. And everything's overlapping. How does someone actually use this? I don't know how anyone ever has.
But, I mean, I feel like New York is pretty simple to understand.
Yeah.
But even that, like, if you've lived there your whole life, it's a lot easier to figure out than coming for the first
time. It's like that times 100 looking at that Japan map. It's I don't know how people figure it out other than like their parents bestowed the knowledge upon them of how to go where they needed to go.
Right. I knew the way home long before I knew the name of all the streets.
Right. Yeah. It's so, like that.
Yeah. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this journey for you. I'm jealous. You know, I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so at least I get to live vicariously through you a little bit, through your vlog and all that kind of stuff. I'm ready for more of these to come out.
Yeah, but like, Eric, you had your adventures, right? You were in the Marines, and you saw the world. I haven't done a lot of that. Like, this, for me, is the the most I'm branching out probably in my life. So
yeah, I never went to Asia. So
yeah,
Africa, Europe, Caribbean, South America, you know, U.S. all that's covered.
Yeah.
But no, no Asia.
We'll get you to Asia
one of these days. That's a long flight, man.
It is.
I was hoping
I'm doing it multiple times.
I was hoping that when we had that goal like a year and a half ago, where we could have taken that cruise.
Oh yeah, the Australia
to like Australia.
The Hawaii, Australia.
Then I could just go from all I had to do was fly to Hawaii. Then I could just cruise to Australia.
Yeah,
it's a more comfortable way to travel, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, we want to thank everyone for joining us, the Wigs that are here in the chat and those of you that are watching. We have a lot more adventures from Tom.
Yeah, please watch the vlogs. If you haven't started watching them, there's like six or so out. And by the time you're watching this, maybe more. But I'm backlogged, so there's still more to come. And then as soon as I get back, I have a park ticket for the return of the Country Bear Vacation Jamboree, which I'm very excited about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very exciting. There's lots of stuff to cover. We got this place held down. I think this will be a lot easier than this first month or so you were gone because we don't have to prepare for an event, move, and build a museum.
No.
So we're getting there.
Yeah.
And thanks for joining us. Again, if you want to join the Wigs, you can go to www.nt.com/Patreon. Otherwise, we'll see you next time here on the WDW News Today podcast.
We'll see you real soon.